She got top billing over the Beatles on The Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. She's been in 17 films, including There's No Business Like Show Business and South Pacific, garnered 17 Emmy nominations, and starred opposite Frank Sinatra, Ethel Merman, Marilyn Monroe, and Marlene Dietrich. But on May 18th, Mitzi Gaynor will be doing something new. She'll finally make her New York City nightclub debut when she opens at Feinstein's at Lowe's Regency, accompanied by a seven-piece band. And I'm delighted to welcome the woman the Los Angeles Times called the nation's number one female song and dance star to our show. Hi.
Hi.
And already...
What a nice intro, huh?
You haven't even opened and you're already extended again. Right?
I'm very surprised. I'm delighted, as a matter of fact.
It's supposed to be through the 22nd, and now it's the 25th through the 29th as
I
well?
I don't know, darling. It all just happened, you know.
Is this taking place at the Lowe's Regency Ballroom? It's not in the cabaret.
No, it's in the ballroom. My darling David decided that since I make seven costume changes, all by Bob Mackie, naturally, I have a lot of things to do, and I have to have a change booth and so on. And I kind of dance and sing and carry on and tell my life story and bore you half to death with it and ad lib and jump up and down, and that maybe I should have a bigger stage. So that's why he's doing it.
Have you been doing this elsewhere?
Yes. I started out in San Francisco, and then we went to Spokane, and then we went to the makeup, the costumes, and then we went, There's No Business Like Show, and then we went to McCallum Theater in Palm Springs. I just came from Chicago and Fort Lauderdale.
But this is a New York
I've never been.
Nightclub debut?
Well, it is. The only time I've ever worked here before, except for doing a movie, in 1946, I was in my mother's arms. I was in a Civic Light Opera production coming from California called The Gypsy Lady, and we played the Century Theater. Mm-hmm. And we were these California showgirl dancers, and we had nobody came to see us. And one time one of the comics came down to the audience and says, "We outnumber you 2-1, but honest, we're really harmless." I've been kind of trepidatious about coming because it is the, you know, it's the ne plus ultra of all show business to perform here.
But, well, you've had a wonderful career. You can't be nervous now.
No, it's not that. It's just that I have such a backlog of things that I've done. And, you know, I have people that kind of, okay, I'll give you, Leonard, okay, an example. Somebody comes to see you, right, and they say that they saw you, and they call their friend and they say they saw you, and it was, you know, it was good, it was okay. So now your friend buys the tickets, right? You better be not only as good as you were last night, you better be better, because so it's a constant thing. You can't, you know, cabaret is very hard because you have to be really honest to be a cabaret performer.
And it's so intimate.
It is.
People are close.
Not so much that, but you're not playing a part.
Mm-hmm.
Yul Brynner once said to me, the hardest thing in the world is to ask for money, but for a charity. I said, why? He said, because you have to be you. You can't, you know, you can't be the king then. You have to be you. So when you're on the stage and for instance, okay, it's a live show. I don't have any people flying from the walls and things. It's just me. That's it.
And a seven-piece band, which is a nice band.
Yeah, and good music, because we've always insisted on good music. It's very intimate, but it's very honest, and it has to be honest, because I think I've said this before. A lot of people who are very, very good at what they do are not good on television. People won't accept them. You can't come into my house. You're paying for it, and you're having a drink or whatever it is where you're coming to cabaret, but I am in your house.
Now, this is a big year for you in another way. It's the 60th anniversary of your first film role in My Big Heaven with Betty Grable and
my
Dan
Blue
Daly.
Heaven.
My Blue Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And... you must have been extremely young at the time, of course.
Yes, I was. I was 17.
Mm. Life magazine said, Gaynor started at the top and climbed even higher. Is that the way you see your career?
Well, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? I started out in the ballet of the Civic Light Operas. And
as a dancer.
Naughty Marietta to D.C. You know, I know all of that. I've done Berlin. I've done Irving Berlin was a friend of mine. I did Louisiana Purchase with the original cast.
Mm.
That generally gets a laugh when I say that.
Like, and you've said that dancing is the hardest profession.
It is, my dear, because your knees go, your ankles go. You know, I've broken every toe. I've broken my metatarsal. My knees, I've had two operations on my knee. It's hard work, you know. Gene Kelly always said dancing is an athletic, profession. I'd like to see basketball players do it in heels. I mean, it's...
Debbie Reynolds said that the challenge for her in Singing in the Rain was to dance and lip sync at the same time.
Walk and talk at the same time, right?
You know. And Gene Kelly got very upset with her because she would get the dance step right. She wasn't a natural dancer. Mm-hmm. And then the lip syncing would go off.
Well, that's practice too, isn't it? Yeah. You know, maybe they didn't have enough practice.
Now, your show is called Razzle Dazzle, My Life Behind the Sequins, and being described as a multimedia extravaganza. You talked about all the gowns. What else?
Well, there's film. There's film on my early career. And then when I got into the Club of Night in the business of show, and what I'm doing now, and some of my husband. I lost my husband
just three years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago. And I tell you, Leonard, when my husband died, we were married for 52 years, and...
He produced all of your television
specials. Yeah, when he died, I didn't know if I wanted to be Mitzi Gaynor anymore. I really didn't. We were the Beans, you know, Jack and Mitzi. I mean, that's... But then it came to me in a vision that his whole life, really, that we were together was dedicated to us, to the Beans, and I was the female part of it. And I had all of this to do, more to do. And so I decided I'm going to pull up my socks and see if I can't do it again. So that's how it started.
Well, you talked about thinking about change of name. Actually, your full name is quite long, isn't it?
Yeah. No, when I say I didn't want to be Mitzi Gaynor anymore.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
But
my name is Francesca Frances Mitzi Marlene DiCiagna von Gerber.
So Mitzi is just one of the many names.
Uh-huh.
And von
Gerber?
I'm
Hungarian, my darling. I'm very much Hungarian.
What were you like as a kid?
Were
you born into
a theatrical family? You should pardon the expression.
Were you born into a theatrical family?
My father was a famous cellist, and my mother was a dancer.
So you always wanted to be in the
business?
I had
to be. It was just my life.
And you thought at the beginning that you'd just be a dancer, I'm sure.
No, because I could sing. And what I really wanted to do, and I had seen Sonia Henie when I was a little girl. What I really wanted to do was an ice skating ballerina who could hit a high C and also twirl flaming batons at the same time. But there wasn't much call for that kind of a number, so.
There are a lot of young people who have no idea who Sonia Henie is, but she was really a big star at the time.
Huge star. She created Dancing on Ice.
My guess is Mitzi Gaynor. Did you ever wind up dancing on ice?
No, I spent more time on my butt. I mean, ow, ice is hard.
Mitzi will be making her New York City nightclub debut at Feinstein's on the 18th, and that will run through the 22nd, and then again the 25th through the 29th. It's at 540 Park Avenue at 61st Street, and if you want information about tickets, you can go to our show page at wnyc.org. Can you tell us about... when you went to audition for Cole Porter at his home in Hollywood?
How do you know about that?
Cole told me. No. We
okay,
have ways
I was
of finding
with
these things
I
out.
Was with the Civic Light Operas, and I was under contract to Mr. Lester, who was the promoter and producer, the entrepreneur of the Los Angeles, San Francisco Civic Light Opera. And he said he wanted to, Cole Porter was going to be doing a show called Out of This World, and he needed an ingenue, and I was supposed to go and see him. Now, he gave me $50, and he said, I want you to buy a nice new outfit. $50? I'm a Virgo, see, and we're kind of tight with that dime, you know. And, you know, $50, so I figured I'd go to the Broadway department.
That was a lot of money in those days.
Oh, please! I go to the Broadway. He said, I want you to take a taxi. This is the address. He lived on Hummingbird Lane. Tra-la-la, twilly-dee-dee. And so what I did was I went to the Broadway department store, and I bought a broomstick skirt, which was made in Mexico. And it was all little pleats and off-the-shoulder peasant blouse with a little string in the front and silver hoop earrings for $1. And I spent on everything maybe $12. Hey, right? So I took the streetcar from...
You were going to pocket the rest of the money?
Wait. Oh, it's even better. So, oh, and I bought some huaraches. You know what huaraches are? Those are the sandals.
Oh, yes.
When you walk. Okay. So I get off on the corner of, I got on a bus, the Sunset bus, and I went and got off the corner of Doheny and Sunset. And there was a gasoline station there. So I go into the gasoline station, and I had a pair of, you know, slacks and a shirt. Take that off, put it in my change case, you know, and I had shoes there and everything in case Mr. Porter wanted me to I didn't know what I was doing. So, okay. So I take, and then I get into my broomstick skirt, my peasant blouse, my earrings, and my... And I hailed a cab. So now the cab takes me up, and it was 40 cents. Ha. So how am I doing, right? So he said, do you want me to wait? And I said, are you crazy? And it was, you know, just, I'll walk. So I go to the door, a gorgeous house. So I go to the door, and there's one of those hands, you know, like the hand of a demon. I knock on, and a man answered the door. And I'd never seen a Cole Porter. And he said, hello. And I said, hi, Mr. Porter, I'm Mitzi, and Mr. Lester told me I should come and audition for you. And he said, I'm not Mr. Porter. He said, I'm Rogers, the butler. And I said, oh. He said, would you walk this way now? Yeah. So we go into this wonderful, like, den, see? And there's, oh, God, there's pictures of everybody, kings and queens in silver frames, more queens than kings, but... And gorgeous furniture. I tell you how rich Cole Porter was. I picked up one of the cushions, and there wasn't a tag underneath that said, warning. If you destroy this tag, you know, you go to jail for the rest. That's how rich he was. I mean, and so then there was this kind of wonderful bowl, and I could see the pool. There was this wonderful bowl with candies, and I thought, and I hear, I turn around. Cole Porter was sitting there this whole time. Mm-hmm. Behind the piano. So he comes around. I said, are you him? And he said, yes, I am. And I said, hi. He said, you're Mitzi. And I said, yeah. And he said, what are you going to sing for me? I said, well, I'm going to sing I Get a Kick Out of You. He said, what key? And I told him. And he said, I don't play it in that key. I said, well, you wrote it, didn't you? Cole Porter. My God. I should have been, you know, they should have had, I really should have been wet. I mean, it was... So I said, okay, so I'll ad lib. So I sang it, and he liked me, and he said that he'd tell Ed that he wanted me. And at the same time, I've been asked to do a test at 20th Century Fox to be in a movie. And every girl wants to be a booby star, Leonard. So, and they're going to pay me They're going to pay me $250 a week to be in the play and $1,000 a week to be in the movie. What would you do, my dear?
Well, I think this is a serious problem because you do want to work with Cole Porter. On the other hand, I'm sure you took the movie.
I certainly did.
And what was the movie?
It was called My Blue Heaven with Betty Grable.
Oh, that
and
was
Dan
the movie.
Dan.
Okay.
And also had Fourth Billing, which was amazing.
And you also worked in Irving Berlin's There's No Business Like Show Business, playing Ethel Merman's daughter.
Yes.
She had a reputation for upstaging everyone.
We adored each other. I called her mom. She called me Mitzala. Oh, she was Mitzala. She'd call me and say, Mitzala! I'd say,
Ethel
hi, Mom.
Zimmerman.
Yes.
And Marilyn Monroe was in that movie, too?
Yeah, I feel sorry now that I was not as... Marilyn fell into a nest of vipers when she, you know, because Ethel Merman, you know, stage, you know, she's done it. Dan Daly, same thing. My God, Donald O'Connor, Mitzi Gaynor, you know, and Johnny. I mean, we were really, really pros. And here's Marilyn. Oh, hello. You know, Ethel, you say, all right, where's the blonde? Which, of course, did not endear her to Marilyn. But I think she, you know, Leonard, I think, honest to God, if you ever get a chance to look at the picture, which maybe is beneath you, but I mean, it is, it's a real show business picture.
No, I like that movie.
I think she steals the picture in what she does. She's really very good in it.
Well, there's a reason she became one of the most memorable people
I'm so glad you said
ever.
That because most people say, oh, well, she took off. I said, that has nothing to do with it.
She was studied good. With Lee Strasberg, and she knew what she was doing. You also had to act. And so you could sing, you could dance, and then you had to act like when you were in South Pacific. And many people will remember you, a lot of people remember you as Nellie Forbush. The soundtrack recording of that film has never gone out of print, I understand.
No, it hasn't.
Frank Sinatra, I understand, can help you get the part.
How do you know all these things? You're so amazing. My God. Aha, because that's what I do, Mitzi. Yes. I was doing The Joker's Wild with Frank, and oh, God, what a wonderful man. And I had already met Josh and Richard, and Josh called my husband and said that Oscar was coming into town, and he wanted to hear me sing. And I went to Charlie Vidor, who was...
We're talking about Oscar Hammerstein.
I'm sorry. Yes. I think, you know, you say Oscar, yeah. And
could be Levant.
Anyway, yeah. Yeah, that's true. And he wanted me to audition for him, and it's on Thursday. And I went to Charlie Vidor, our director, and I said, is it possible that I can get off on Thursday? And he said, no, honey, I don't think so. He said, because that's the big... The denouement, the point of the whole picture, that's where I break up with mm-hmm. Frank, with Joey Lewis, Frank Sinatra. Frank's walking by the trailer where I'm talking to. He said, what's up, baby? I said, I have a chance to audition for Oscar Hammerstein. I've been, I have a chance to do Nellie Forbush in South Pacific. And he said, oh, my God, kid. I said, but we're going to work on Thursday. It's the big. He said, Charlie, can we shoot around Mitzi?
Mm.
He said, it's up to you, Frank. He said, well, we're going to shoot around you, baby. You go get the job. So.
And you did.
And you know something, baby? People don't know things like that about Frank. He did that for, you know, he was really so generous.
Just one more thing, because we were pretty much out of time. It must have been weird, crazy, in fact, when you were on the Ed Sullivan Show with the Beatles.
Can I tell you that? You got a minute?
No, 30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds. I was asked to be on many, many years, and Jack always said no because he never gave me enough time. So I said I'd give her 9 minutes. And the Beatles were going to be on. Nobody knew who they were. I said, really? And I had billing over them. That was in October. And... in February of the next year, they were the Beatles.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were Mitzi Gaynor, which is pretty good. And we'll be hearing about all of the different highlights of your career in this nightclub act, I'm sure, called what is it called? Razzle Dazzle?
Uh-huh. My Life Behind the Sequins.
And it's at Feinstein's at the Lowe's Regency starting on the 18th. Thank you so much for being with us.
I've loved it. Thanks.